Welcome to Throwing Light. This is episode 29, The Spirituality of Money. Okay, so the heart of it, originally this episode was supposed to be about student debt, because that's something that is very close to my heart, unfortunately. And then it was going to be about all debt. And then I was like, oh, but then we could, I'm just a big money nerd, surprisingly so. Over the last couple of years, I've gotten really into personal finance and all that that entails and learning about it. And I still have a long way to go on my own personal finance journey. But, you know, I like money. I like math also. And I like accounting. My birth mom is actually an accountant. It's in my blood. What can I say? I've never been the kind of person who considers herself good with money up until maybe a couple of years ago. But even now, I think it's easier for me to say I'm a money nerd. I love to learn about money, but I'm getting there. And I'm going to talk about what I mean when I say that. Being good at money means very different things depending on who you are. Like if you're Dave Ramsey, If you're Dave Ramsey, then being good at money means having zero debt and being quote unquote weird. Weird is like cool or something. And so, huge confession, I listen to Dave Ramsey. It's like my guilty pleasure. And if you don't know who that is, that's okay. And if you do know who that is, you might be kind of surprised that I listen to him, because he's very different than I am. But I like, there are things that I like, and I'll explain. This episode is going to be a little free-flowy. I had a whole different thing lined up, and you know how it goes. It just didn't. Essentially, I want to talk about five main things. One is lack. One is abundance. One is the individual and the collective, all of us. We are one side of lack and abundance. And the way that you view each of those things kind of shapes how you think about money and how you think about debt, all of that stuff. I think that a lot of it is much more in our minds than actually in our bank accounts. And the last thing I want to talk about is a very nerdy money term called risk tolerance. And when I do, I'll get into a little bit of my own personal story. And yeah, let me just get into my personal story now. So the reason I wanted to do this episode today, and the reason that it feels like really timely, is because I got a job offer yesterday. I had been told by the place where I'm interning that they would be able to offer me a job post-internship. And I found out yesterday that they want to do it like now. And so it'll be a little bit of a juggle. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not 100% sure just yet what that means for the podcast. I may be pausing or wrapping up season one. Let's put it I may be wrapping up this as season one and coming back in a few months to give myself the space to work, but also to create and to like fill up creatively, because I think that's a thing. If you keep outputting, you have to fill up at some point creatively. I haven't 100% decided if I had, when I started Throwing Light, I didn't have the idea of seasons in mind. And Jermaine has been not pushing the idea, but he brings it up every so often. And I have never really considered it. I've always wanted to stay consistent. But there's nothing like a comeback, right? So part of the fun is you can't miss me if I don't go away. So, and just for my own sanity and, you know, self-care and all that stuff. So I don't know. I will keep you posted. I promise you will be the first to know. So I got offered a job, and it's just kind of a weird, this is a huge transition year for us. So we've lived off of Army money for, I mean, not like they're just giving it to us, like Jermaine is like blood, sweat, and tears. But financially, that's been our main source of income for the last 7+ years. And he is getting out of the Army this year. And he is going to it's called a coding boot camp. It's like software development, it's essentially a trade school, but it's in a different state. And so he's going away for 5 months or so. And so I kind of knew when I got the opportunity, the 5 months that he was going to be gone were kind of fit in perfectly with me taking a job right after the internship, blah, blah, blah. So we'd have some sort of income. And we have savings. So we have been kind of socking away everything we could so that we could make it this transition. Well, then a couple of weeks ago, I was hit by a dump truck and I'm okay, thankfully. But our car, Edmund, was totaled. And so we're down to one vehicle. So anyway, so there's some like weird complications. Financially, it's been a really abundant time for us in spite of like letting go of some, getting ready to not have this regular source of income that we've relied on for so long. But like all these other things are coming up and it's just like really exciting because it feels like, oh my gosh, like this is happening and the universe is aligning to make it a thing and to help us through this transition. And it's all a risk. And we'll talk about risk tolerance at the end, but I am not scared. I mean, I'm terrified, but in a good way. And I have this mindset, it's going to be okay. Like we're going to figure it out and it might be tight or it might not be, like, who knows, but I think we're going to make it and we're going to be able to like get to the other side of Army life. This whole thing is going to be about my story, apparently. So the reason Jermaine went into the Army 7+ years ago was because we were broke. He had been unemployed for like a year and a half, and I was in school, and I couldn't get a job, and he couldn't get a job, and it was just really, it was sucky, and it was scary, and we lived with friends, we lived off unemployment, and it wasn't a financially abundant time, and we did not feel financially abundant, and he had this opportunity. He scores really well on like those placement tests type things. So the ASVAB, he took that and placed really well. So he got kind of his choice of what he wanted to do. They wanted him to go into like intelligence, but he wanted to do multimedia illustrator. Like he wanted to be a graphic designer. And that's the job he was looking for pre-Army. So he got to do that in the Army, which was really amazing opportunity. And our Army life has been difficult, but it has been like very blessed. I feel like I reaped a lot of the blessings where he had to like suffer a lot of the suck of being in the Army and all that that entails. And like, you know, it's a bit oppressive. I think there's some like boot camp stuff. He still has like a little PTSD, like he does not like to be cold, and I don't exactly know what the hell he went through. And the other side of that is he's been a lower-level enlisted soldier the whole time he's been in the Army because they kind of ended the promotions for the multimedia illustrator job. So he would have to go – he would have had to go to a different job, like, in order to get promoted, and that wasn't his path. And so when you're at the bottom of the ranks in the Army, it's, I mean, I only know from like the treatment that I receive as the wife of a lower enlisted, and just kind of like there is a sense of like what you are allowed to want. Back to money. I'm sorry, I'm tangenting a little bit. So let me like focus. Lack and abundance. What is interesting is I feel like we have a lot in terms of like savings right at this moment, but we also have a lot of debt. We have a lot of student loan debt. And for a long time, I looked at that and felt like a failure and felt like it was a hole that I couldn't climb out of. Like I can honestly say I don't feel that way anymore. I definitely feel like I want to attack it aggressively as I am financially able to. And part of the reason I'm so excited about this job and Jermaine's post-coding school opportunities is because we will be able to pay off that debt as soon as possible. Net worth wise, we're not like rolling in the dough. And if you don't know what net worth is, that's okay. It's all of your assets, all the money you have, you know, your cars, your house, all your stuff that you could sell and make a profit or that you have socked away. And then it's all of your debt. You kind of like add those two numbers together, like equal it out. So you essentially you take your assets and you subtract your debt. And what is left is it's what you have. And for a lot of people, you know, that number's negative. And that for us, that number's negative because of our student loan debt. And I mean, for other reasons. So you might ask, how can I feel abundant if my net worth is in the red? And I mean, this is where we get into the spirituality of money. What you can probably conceptualize, there are folks in this world whose net worth is way in the positive, and they still, they're living it from a place of lack. So living from a place of lack not only means that you feel like you don't have enough or that you need to get more and more and more and more and more and that hole is never filled, but it also means there is this sense that if that person over there has something, then that's going to cut into my piece of the pie. And with that comes fear, and with that comes keep them out. If we operate from a place of we are one, we also have to operate from a place of like, what I have is for the good of the world. It's for like everyone. It doesn't mean that you sell all your possessions and live in poverty. Maybe it means that for you. I think it worked for, you know, Shane Claiborne. That's not my path. I feel pretty confident, but it does mean that I trust what I give comes back to me threefold. So it's this idea that there is mystery and we don't fully understand it, but there's enough. There's enough. And I can trust that there's going to be enough for me. And if there's enough for me, that means if I have something that somebody else needs in this moment, I can give it to them and it's going to be okay. So I applied for this scholarship. It was a grant, actually. I applied for this grant at the beginning of the year and was really hoping to get it. It would have been huge, just a huge boost. And I didn't get it. And I was pretty devastated. And I was, you know, I was surprised for a lot of reasons. But a couple of weeks later, I got a call from my alma mater, and it was this college kid. You know, they have them call and like ask for money, essentially, you know, for a scholarship fund or whatever. And I never give to these things because solicitors irritate me. So he essentially asked, like, as you know, college is expensive. Do you want to give a gift of $25 and help someone else go to school? And I was like, yes. Because I'm in school and because I live from a place of abundance and I trust in the universe, trust in myself, trust in the mystery that the universe has my back and that it's going to be okay. Somehow in helping this foundation and helping this kid, it's helping me. And it's all very weird and esoteric. When you start talking about the spirituality of money, Jesus mentioned money like 100 million times, and like he talked about money a lot. That's a thing. And the way that we think about money, the way that we think about generosity, the way that we think about our own worth is important. And important in not the way that we think. So from a Dave Ramsey standpoint, it's important because we want to get our piece of the pie, and we want to get what we feel like we are owed and what we have worked hard for. From a spiritual abundance standpoint, we start from the place where there's enough. Abundance isn't like more, 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 more. Abundance is enough. If you're listening to this, I mean, you've heard, like, we're the richest of the rich. These are the cards we were dealt. And so I think it's even more important for us to wrap our minds around the fact that we're the richest of the rich. Like, we have to own that. And yes, our net worth is negative, and we might have way more debt than people on the other side of the world, but we also, because of where we live, have the capacity to get out of it. I want us to think about what it might mean to live from a place of abundance, of enough, and what it might mean to get out of the mindset of lack. Our story has to do with the money we have and the money that we are indebted. You have what you have, and your story is what it is. So what do we do with that? In the nonprofit world, I took a class on communities and organizations last year, and we had to write up a paper on the place where we were interning. And my professor goes, don't tell me that they don't have enough money. Nobody has enough money. Nobody has enough money, but it's what you do with it that matters. That's it. That's what it is. We get to decide how we use our resources, and how we think about our resources informs what we do with them. So if you want to dive deeper, there's a book called Worth It. It's a book for women, but I think men and women could benefit from it. She goes into detail about what net worth is, how to think about debt, et cetera, et cetera. I'll link it in the show notes when I find it. I like Ramit Sethi. I think if you're like, that's like advanced money management, and I'm not necessarily there yet, but I like what he has to say. We attach the meaning to money, right? And that's, we attach whether it's good or bad. And we have all these beliefs about rich people are assholes, poor people are assholes, I am bad with money. You know, they're getting to the root of what you think about is really helpful in figuring out how you want to think about money and how you want to interact with it. So here it is, your break for verses. It's been 4 days since I've journaled. So much has happened. Yesterday was election day, and Obama won re-election. I'm so thankful and excited. I feel like I've been concerned about his re-election before he was even voted in the first time. People can say what they want, but a lot of folks, consciously or unconsciously, didn't want him in office because of deep-seated racism. I think he's done a great deal of good. I'm sure he's done some things that weren't so good, but I really do feel like he's about helping our country and the people in it. Anyway, enough politics. Brooklyn is upstairs fighting sleep. Thank you for listening. I am honored and grateful. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes, because it does fancy things with the algorithm and it helps me reach more people. As always, the show notes for this episode can be found at brandyglows.com. If you have any questions or an idea for a future show, you can tweet me at brandyglows or email me at brandyglows@gmail.com.